Let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 15, starting from verse 1.
After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward.
Now here we see, last week we learned, and Philip just said a few minutes ago, Abraham comes from the battle. He defeats all four dangerous kings. And that other five kings also, they didn't know who the Abraham was, and they could kill him too. So out of all these nine kings, he escaped, but he killed so many other kings who were coming against Sodom and Gomorrah. Now just picture in your mind, 318 people, killing hundreds of people, mainly killing the kings. Sodom king says, take all the loots and give my people only. He said, no, I cannot take anything from you. Not a thread, not a shoe latch. I don't want anything that you should say, I made Abraham rich. So he didn't take anything, and he went. And we learned last week, Melchizedek comes and blesses Abraham, and then he disappears. I think Abraham might have checked everywhere who this man was. And there is no big town they can find out, but they could not find anyone was born in this town, their mother, father, or any relatives. So he came to know this was a prophesied in the Word of God, Psalm 110, verse 4, that Jesus Christ will be the high priest as a Melchizedek. And we don't have time, but when we did the book of Hebrews study, you can read from book of Hebrews chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, and we read about the Melchizedek compared to Jesus Christ. But today we are concentrating here in chapter 15. Now this was the vision. Abraham, the same time he had the fear that these kings, they are dead, but their brothers or their children or their relatives or their countrymen might come and kill me and my people. Because comparing to all those nine kingdoms or nine kings, these people are handful people. No, this is like a natural fear came to Abraham. Now, what's going to happen to me? Those people might kill me and my people. If you remember, Diana was taken by the enemy. We don't have time. And his brothers went and slaughtered all those enemies. And then Jacob starts saying, you know what? Those people will kill us. Let's get out of this town. And they ran for their life. Similar situation is here now. Abraham killed many kings. And now he's afraid of his life. And that's the time God comes and gives him a vision. In vision and dream is two different. Vision you can see even when you are not sleepy. You can see certain things God can show it to you. Just like when Jesus Christ took James, John, and Peter, and his face was like a face of a son of God. And then the word of God said that was a vision. They saw Elijah and Moses. And many people arguing that Moses and Elijah came on the mountain. They didn't come. It was a vision. It says in that chapter, if you want, you can go into Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 to 5. This was a vision. They did not come on this earth. It was a vision. The same way now Abraham is seeing the vision that God is saying to him, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Now he is saying, I am going to put a shield around you. That is my shield. Just like God is hovering over you. In 91 Psalm, if you read, and he says, if you stay closer to God under his wings, nothing will harm you. And so he says, I am your shield. Don't worry, those enemy has no power to destroy you. If those enemy had the power to destroy you, they would have destroyed you there. But I did not allow them to touch you or your people, and they came safe. And so here the word of God is saying, do not be afraid. How many times when the trials and tribulations comes, you get scared and you forget that God is there. See, the word of God says, I am your shield. If God is your shield, you don't have to be worried about anybody. Amen. Other day, one brother called me and says, he said, in the workplace, somebody told him, I'm going to kill you. And I'm going to come with a gun. I gave him so many Bible scriptures not to be afraid. And he was having peace in his heart. Other day also, one brother, you know, he sold his car to somebody. And he said, as is, take it or leave it. Person buys the car. And 2-3 months later, that person said, hey, you sold me defective car. Take your car, otherwise I'm going to bring my brothers and everybody to your house and we are going to fight with you. This brother called me and I prayed with him and gave him the verses that you should not be afraid. God's protection is there. So this is natural. The children of God, sometimes they can be afraid, or the ministers, they can be afraid. This Abraham is a child of God. He's afraid. One day I went and preached in a Muslim mosque and they could not kill me. But when I came home, I got some fear because I'm going to go that way and there is my shopping center and I have to pass this mosque. So a little bit fear came and I got a dream. In that dream, there was a cobra snake coming to bite me. And so I chopped his neck with my hand. And then I saw a big giant truck I was driving, and there was a big ditch. And I jumped that truck. That truck means like a Mack truck. And I went there, and there was a big wall. And I didn't jump that wall. I just stopped there, and I didn't know why this came. So God started telling me, you're afraid of those Muslims, but I took care of them. They are not going to hurt you because I have already given you power to destroy the enemy. And I am going to put the shield around you just like a big wall around you. You don't have to worry. But that fear gone, and I start praising God. Next morning when I went to the post office, the person says, is this your Bible? Because I left my Bible there. It's a long story. And I say, how did he get it? He said, that Muslim priest bought this Bible and he said, this Bible is belong to this person. Do you know this person? This person said, oh, this is my pastor. And he took that and he said, we were going to kill him. But some power was holding. This is the man of God and we could not kill him. And so it's a long story, but the point I'm making, this brother came and told me the story that tell the pastor, we are not going to touch you. We are not going to kill you because your God protected you. We have no power to kill you. So this is what the Lord is telling Abraham. Don't be afraid about those kings. They are not going to hurt you. They are not going to do any harm to you. The top of that, he says, I am thine exceedingly great reward. If you do something for the Lord, you are going to get reward. You are not asking reward, but whatever you do for the Lord, he will give it to you. For example, if you give a $10, he gives you $100. He gives you hundredfold. So always there is a reward God gives to you. But this is an exceedingly great reward. Now when he got an opportunity to talk to God, we heard a few minutes ago, the king comes and say, I'm going to give you all the loots and take everything. He said, no, no, no. I do not want anybody saying somebody made me rich. But here, not a person talking to him. Here, God is talking to him. God has everything, silver, gold, and everything you can imagine what you want. God has it. So you should not feel ashamed to talk to God. There are people I saw, ministers and pastors and leaders of the church, and they have problem. And I said, did you pray about it? Oh, I don't pray for my problem. I pray for somebody else. I never ask my problem to God. I said, that's foolish. How can you tell somebody, if God did not supply your needs, how can you tell somebody God supplies your needs? You should be humble enough to say, God is a great God. He has everything. Whatever you want, He has it. Sometimes people say, oh, God cannot give this, God cannot. But the Word of God says, every promise in the Word of God is what? Yes and amen. Whatever you want is there. God is going to provide you. He even say, I did not spare my son. I gave my son. So if he gave his son, do you think any other thing is greater than his son? No. God can supply every needs. So Abraham got the message. If God is my protection, and if God is my shield, if God is going to take care of me, then I am going to ask him a question. Let's read the words too. Genesis chapter 15, verse 2.
And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus.
Now see what the Abraham is saying. Lord, you did not give me any children. Now, up to now, he is saying, I was thinking, the Lot is my son. Lot betrayed me, and he went. Even though I rescued his life, still he is not grateful. Lot should have said, Abraham, my uncle, I ran from you, and I was in danger, but you rescued me. I want to come and help you. I want to be grateful to you. I'm going to be your son. Don't worry. Now you are so old, man, and you put your life in danger. I want to help you. But we didn't see anything. Lot went, taking your children and wife, and he's enjoying the life. I helped that guy. I rescued him. I put my life in danger. But he's not thankful. There are so many people like that. You do so many things for them, but they never thank you. You know why? They think, oh, they're supposed to do those things. I don't have to thank them. That's the way the Lord is. We never saw the Lord saying, thank you, uncle. You rescued me. You put your life in danger. What can I do for you? You don't have any children. Count on me. You help me, I'll help you in your old days. Don't worry. But he didn't say anything. That's why he's saying, what I'm going to get. Now I have one servant, Eliezer from Damascus, and he's just like my child. Better than Lot. He's taking care of me. And that's the only child I have, and I depend on that Eliezer. He's faithful servant. Do you think he will be taking all my position and everything going to him? See what God says. Genesis chapter 15, verse 3.
And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir.
Now God says, no, don't say that this Eliezer is going to take property and goods and everything. No. He says, I'm going to give you a child from your own body. It's coming from you, not from Eliezer, not from Lot. I'm going to give you your own son. That is a good promise. Let's read the verse 5.
And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be.
Now, if you remember, last time we read, he says, See, your children will be like a sand of the sea or dust. Now, this is a vision. He is seeing the vision. And after the vision, now he said, He brought him forth abroad. Hey, Abraham, come on out. Let me show you some stars. I showed you some dust. You didn't believe. See some stars. I am going to give you children like a stars. And then he brings him and shows him. They said, This will be thy seed. Your children will be just like a flourishing. And when he says this, read the verse 6.
And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness.
Now, this time he believed. He saw the stars. He heard his promises. He showed him that I am your shield, and I am your exceeding great reward. Now, this time, Abraham got some faith. Before that, God told him. In the chapter 12 itself, God said, I'm going to bless you. And he promised him that I'm going to give you children. But everything Abraham forgot because it took a long time. Now he says, I'm going to give you children if you can count the stars. This time, something happened in his spirit. Why? Because he knew God protected me. He saved me from all these 9 kings. And I am alive. That same God can do some miracles. If God does something for you, just think that you have a headache or stomachache, and he healed your headache or stomachache, and another day you got some pain in your leg or foot, what are you going to do? You're going to say, oh, God can heal the headache, God can heal the stomach, but this is a little bit difficult. That is called unbelief. If God can heal your stomach, God can heal your headache, God can heal anything, there is nothing impossible with God. I told him, since 1956 until today, I did not take one tablet, one injection. I never went to any doctor. I am living a healthy life. Hallelujah. How? I believed. If Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for me, he took my sin, and I believe that he took my sin away, and I don't have to go and worship any God because Jesus saves me. The same way I believe the word of God says, with his stripes I am healed. So I don't have to go to any other doctor. If I cannot believe Jesus is my Savior, then I would be going to other gods. If I don't believe Jesus Christ is my healer, then I'll be going to other doctors. That's why the Abraham comes here and now he believes he saved me. He gave me life. There might be something God wants to do with me. Otherwise, God would have killed me. When God healed you, you have to think, why God healed me? There is something God wants to do with my life. When I go and people are dying, like somebody calls me, say, this person is going to die within 1.5 hour, doctor says. What I should say? If doctor says 1.5 hour, I cannot do anything. I said, sir, I don't care what your doctor says. Let me talk to that person. I talked to that person over phone. I prayed, and that person was healed. He comes to church, gives me a hug. He says, Jesus is my Lord, and you are my pastor. Point I'm making, we have to trust in God more than any other doctors or anybody else. Our God is the one who provides everything. When God says to Abraham, I am exceeding great reward for you, he has to believe it because he has proven to him that he kept him alive. And then the word of God says, when Abraham believed, that was counted as a righteousness. Now see, the Old Testament righteousness and New Testament righteousness is different. Old Testament sins forgiven and the New Testament sins forgiven is different. Let's read in Psalm 32. Verses 1 and 2.
Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
Now see, yesterday I was watching some program, and there is a pastor, I'm not giving his name. He says, see, we are so blessed. Our sins are covered. And many preachers and many Christians are thanking God that our sins are covered. That's a blessing. And then he says he took some cloth and put his hand underneath the cloth. He says, see, now we are covered, but the God is working under the covering, and every day he is making you perfect. God does not do under the cover. Here you have the blood covering, and you are blessed. All the Old Testament people, they were bringing the sacrifice of bulls and goats. Their sins were covered. But our sins are not covered. Let's read the verse too.
Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile.
Now this is the blessing. He said there is another man. When I see him, he has no iniquity. He has no sin. Not even his spirit. There is no guile. There is nothing I can see anything wrong. How this thing happened to this man and the other man's sin were all just the covered, but this man's sins are not there. He said, when I see this man, I don't see anything in him. What happened? When Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and we apply the blood of Jesus Christ, when the God the Father sees you through the blood of Jesus Christ, he says, you are not sinner. You have no guilt. Your spirit is completely clean. What happened? The blood of Jesus Christ washed away your sins. Book of Hebrews chapter 8 and chapter 10, if you read, it says, God forgives your sins and he forgets. There is no record of your sin. And the Christian people, what they say, oh, I am old sinner saved by grace. And so I will be never be perfect. I will be always sinner. Is that the reason Jesus Christ came? Jesus Christ came to save you, wash you, cleanse you, and make you perfect. In Christ, if you live in Christ, you are a perfect man. In Christ Jesus, because God sees you through the blood of Jesus Christ, and you are perfect. Go to the book of Hebrews. Okay, Hebrews 9:12. Okay.
Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh.
Now see what the blood of bulls and goats was doing? Purifying their flesh outwardly. But see the blood of Jesus Christ, what the blood of Jesus Christ is doing, read the verse 14.
How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?
Purge your conscience means cleanse your heart, cleanse your thinking, cleanse your mind, your soul, your body and everything. And then what happens? You became a new creation. When Jesus Christ comes in, your sins are gone. Everything is gone. You say, oh, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Please forgive all my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. What happens? Something happens. He comes in. Sins goes out. Devil goes out. And if you read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, then he says, you became what? New creation. New creature. That was not exist. Not even Adam could not say Adam was a new creature. Adam was made by dust. We are made by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are created in Christ Jesus as a new creation. Please read.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
See, behold, all things became new. And if somebody Christian comes to me, he said, you know what? I believe Jesus Christ, he forgave my sins, but he told me to keep cigarette, keep alcohol, keep some drugs, and I can do all of those things because he forgives me every day. It doesn't work that way. He says, if you read in John chapter 5, verse 24, he says, you pass from death unto life. And here he says, now you are a new creation and all things are passed away. If you're smoking before, it should pass away. If you're drinking before, it should pass away. What does it mean? You don't have to do anything. You are struggling. But when you come to Christ, he gives you power. He gives you new nature, new life. That's why our righteousness and Abraham's righteousness is different. He believed God and he said, okay, now you believed me. Now I'll count you as a righteous. Read the verse 21 in same chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21.
For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
See, we were sinners. Jesus was sinless. He took our sins, put it on Christ, and now he says, now he took your sin and he gave his righteousness to you. So now Jesus became sin and we became righteous. That picture was shown to Isaiah. Please read Isaiah 53 and starting from verse 4 to 9.
Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed.
See, with his stripes we are healed. Healing for your soul, for your body, for your spirit, for everything. Healing is not only I got salvation, but God did not heal me. Doesn't work that way. If you believe, you get healing for everything. Financial blessings, your family blessings, or anything you are lacking is done. Okay, go ahead.
All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Our iniquity was put on Jesus Christ. Okay.
He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth.
See? He had no sin, but God put your sin and my sin on Christ. That's why Jesus Christ died. And so we just read the verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. We got our righteousness from Jesus Christ. So for our righteousness, Jesus Christ shed his blood. For the righteousness of Abraham, he just believed in God. So our righteousness comes by faith, but at the same time comes by grace, what Jesus Christ did for us. Okay, let's go back to the Genesis chapter 15. Start reading from verse 7.
And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it.
Now God is saying, Abraham, do you know? You were living in Ur. I am the one bought you. But if you read, actually, the chapter 11, God did not bring him. His father bought him out. But his father died. Then how can God say, I bought you? Because the word of God says, before the foundation of the world, God has created you and God has called you. So Abraham was just on the Ur. Just read that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4.
According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
See what he's trying to say? Abraham is saying, I chosen you when you are living in Ur. But here the word of God says, God has chosen you before the foundation of the world. So we are belong to God and God knows everything about you. If you don't know anything about you, he knows. And if you forget, say, God, reveal about me. He will tell you about you everything. He knows past, he knows present, he knows future. So you should say, Lord, you know everything about me. I cannot hide any sin, anything, because he knows everything about us. Let's read verse 8. Genesis chapter 15, verse 8.
And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it?
Now, here is the one mistake Abraham did. He believed in God. When you believe means what? If you believe God, then you trust God. Whatever God says, it will happen to you. Now, God told him, look at the stars and those are the children, your children they are. That's the way your children will be. And then he said he believed in God. Now the word of God tells him, I called you from that Ur, and now I brought you into this land, and all of this land I'm going to give it to you. Now two things are so difficult to understand. He thinks, well, God can give me child, but how can God protect me from all these enemies? And if I want to take this land, I have to slaughter so many people. How is it going to happen? God already told him, I'm your shield. I'm your great reward. Now he believed in God. But according to what I see here, he's doubting. He is saying, when you say, how this is going to be? Could you give me some example? Or could you show me how it's going to happen? That means he got some doubt. See what happens now. Let's read verse 9.
And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him.
Now see what happened. When you see this thing, very few ministers or preachers will explain to you what is happening to here to Abraham. Now God told him, bring the calf and dove, turtle dove and dove. Now he just said, bring it to me. God would have showed him what to do. He says, bring it. But Abraham was hurry. He did not want to wait. God told him to bring all these animals, and God was going to tell him how to do offerings, what to do. Abraham never did this kind of offering before. He might have offered the lamb or goat one. But here he is telling him to bring several things. And God was going to tell him what to do, but Abraham is hurrying. Hurrying for what? Having children and getting a land. That's what the hurry was. And what he did, he took the animal, cut them into pieces, and put them there. And he did it earlier than the sacrificial time. So when you do early and put this animal there, dead animal, what will happen? He says, the fowls, actually the vultures, the birds, big birds, you never saw vultures here, and you see in a farmland or somewhere. The vultures came to destroy the offering. And so what Abraham has to do, go, hey, hey, go, and he's running this way and running that way, because those animals might be putting from that to there. The altar was not able to hold all of these things, so he put it on the floor maybe. And he's running between the offerings and telling animals to go. And so he did all these things, and the old man got tired and fell asleep. And now he's thinking, oh, I made a mistake. Because he says the horror came upon him. When the horror comes, that means you made something mistake. Otherwise, you don't have to feel guilty. If you did something wrong, then you will be feeling guilty. And now here you don't see anything guilty in here what he did. But this was an example for other generation to come. You will see, I will show it to you within a few minutes. But here he sees he saw some horror. And see what happens. Let's read the verse 13.
And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years.
Now see, is this a good promise? I'm going to give you children, he said a few minutes ago. Now he says your children will go in a strange land, and they are going to be their slave. They are going to suffer there, not a 1 day, 2 days, 400 years. That doesn't sound like a blessing to me. It sounds like a scolding or some kind of punishment. Okay, let's read further.
And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full.
What God is trying to say, you know what? I was going to give you this land. I was going to give your children everything in this land. But what happened? You hurried too much. You are too hurry and bought the offering maybe noonday. And all these vultures came to defile the offering before I could take it. And so you ran, you did so much good things, did not allow this animal to destroy the offering, but you ran between the offering to protect it. And that was not good, because at that time there was no Mosaic law, how to sacrifice and how to give offering. But this was just the pattern God was telling him, if somebody does like this, I'm going to punish those people also. We will be seeing pretty soon. So here is saying in verse 16, I was going to give this land to you, but in this people's iniquity is not yet full. Means this is not a time to slaughter these people. You have to wait for a while. Otherwise, God would have given to him right away if he would do the right kind of offering. Let me show you. Let's go to the Jeremiah chapter 34, verse 18 to 20.
And I will give the men that have transgressed my covenant, which have not performed the words of the covenant which they had made before me, when they cut the calf in twain and passed between the parts thereof.
Did you see this similarity? They cut the calves and, you know, people walk in between. The same way Abraham was doing, cut the calves and put it there, and the birds were coming, so he's running up in between to protect this, the animals. Go ahead.
The princes of Judah and the princes of Jerusalem, the eunuchs and the priests, and all the people of the land which passed between the parts of the calf. I will even give them into the hand of their enemies and into the hand of them that seek their life, and their dead bodies shall be for meat unto the fowls of the heaven and to the beasts of the earth.
See what happened? He says, Abraham did mistakes, and if somebody does the same mistake, I will also give them in the enemy's hand. So Abraham was like a model. If you would have said, Lord, this is the animal I bought. What should I do? You told me to bring it. You did not tell me the sacrifice yet. You told me to bring it, but I did not listen to you. Go to the Leviticus chapter 1 and verses 6 to 9.
And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. And the sons of Aaron the priest shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head, and the fat in order upon the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord.
This was the plan of God. God would have told him, this is the way you do the offering. But before he gives an order, he did it anyhow. And that's what the problem was. Okay, now about the birds. Just go to the Leviticus chapter 1, verse 14 to 17.
And if the burnt sacrifice for his offering to the Lord be of fowls, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or of young pigeons. And the priest shall bring it unto the altar and wring off his head and bring it and burn it on the altar. And the blood thereof shall be wrung out at the side of the altar. And he shall pluck away his crop with his feathers and cast it beside the altar on the east part by the place of the ashes. And he shall cleave it with the wings thereof, but shall not divide it asunder. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar, upon the wood that is upon the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord.
So here we see God would have told Abraham how to do the right sacrifice. But he did not wait, and he did the sacrifice, and the great horror came upon him. And then when you read, whatever you are afraid of, that the things happen to you. You remember Job? When the Job had a problem, he said, these are the things I was thinking. I was afraid of these things, and those are the things happened to me. And so Abraham was afraid, what will happen to me and my people, and what would happen, and these people might take us of slavery. What would happen? And exactly happened. Let's go back to the Genesis. We are going to finish within a few minutes. Starting from verse 17.
And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates.
Now see what God did. Even though he made a mistake, God did not say, hey Abraham, you made a mistake. Sometimes when you do something wrong, and somebody tells you, confess your sins, you feel bad, because you know already what you did wrong. So Abraham did wrong. His heart was condemning. God did not condemn him. God says, okay, what I'm going to do? You didn't believe. He said, how are you going to give this land? What is the proof of giving land? So he showed him what is going to happen. Your people will be going to slavery for 400 years. And then you will get this land. But he said, where I'm going to give this land, read the verse 18 one more time.
In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates.
Can you imagine? They were in bondage in Egypt for 400 years. Now he says, from the Egypt river to the Euphrates river, all this land I'm going to give it to you. That land is already given by God. And here people are fighting for that little land, and all the government and all the other countries are pushing Israel in a corner, but they are not reading the Bible. If they read the Bible, they will keep their mouth shut. They will say, this is God's land, and those enemies have stolen this land. Not the Israeli people stolen this land. But the word of God says, you have to wait. He says, or they are sinful, or their iniquity is not full, otherwise I would have killed them. You will be killing them later. Let's read from verse 19 to 21. All these nations were there when they came out of Egypt, and many of them, they are not here anymore. Please read.
The Kenites, and the Kenizzites, and the Kadmonites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Rephaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites.
Seven nations and 31 kings were defeated when they came out of Egypt. And that's the time God says, now their sin is fulfilled. Their iniquity is fulfilled. Go and get the land, one by one. And all the land was possessed. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are a great reward. You are our great shield. You are our protection. We don't have to be afraid of anyone or anything, because God's protection is upon us, surrounding us. Your word says, if God is not building the house, the builder's building is in vain. If God is not watching the city, the watchman's watching is in vain. Let us trust in Jesus Christ, who supplies all our needs, who defeats all our enemies. Lord Jesus, give us grace and courage to follow you, to go to uttermost part of the world, not to be afraid of any person, and preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. Give us grace to trust in Jesus Christ, who is our righteousness, who supplies all our needs, who is the one, our God and our Savior, our healer, our doctor, our provider. We trust in you, Lord Jesus. Bless your people. Supply their needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Please be seated.